Tonight, please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Is there anybody that needs a copy of the notes for chapter 1? I think Sarah has two copies. No one? All right, Romans chapter 1. That's where we are. Last week we got through verses 1 through 7. Tonight we're going to try to get through verses 8 through 17. All right? So, Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, in the first seven verses that we looked at last week, we had basically the salutation of this letter, Paul's greeting to them, his beginning of this 16, in our Bible anyway, chapters of this letter to the Christians at Rome. The salutation, verses 1 to 7. He told us there who the writer was and told us what the theme was, told us who the recipients were. And then we come to verses 8 to 17, and we have what I'm calling here the explanation. He's going to explain to them about his desire to come and see them. He'll also talk to them about why he hasn't been there so far. Okay? So, he starts out in verse 8, and he says, he's going to give three reasons, and I might just point them out real quick. He wrote this letter because he wanted to visit them, but could not, verses 8 to 13. Then he wrote this letter, secondly, because he has been hindered in his plans to visit them, and he wanted them to know what had happened, that's verse 13. And then in verses 14 and 15, he wrote this letter because he is powerfully motivated by three things, and we'll talk about that also this evening, but I wanted you to notice in verse 8 first. Now, that's the beginning, isn't it? First. Amen. This is the beginning. This is what he really wants them to get a handle on. And I want you to notice he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Remember, he's writing to the believers at Rome. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your, what's the next word?
Faith.
That your faith is spoken of throughout the world, the whole world. This really stands out to me, and I just want to mention a couple of things. Please notice that he did not say to them, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your building is spoken of throughout the whole world. Or he didn't say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your numbers are spoken of throughout the whole world. Or your music program. Or your beautiful, of course, they wouldn't have church vans or church buses, but, you know, your outreach ministry by way of horses and chariots or whatever, that's not what's being spoken of throughout the world. Did you notice what he said? What is it that's spoken of concerning this church at Rome, these believers at Rome? What is it that is spoken of throughout the whole world? Their faith. Their faith. Now, of course, I realize that that's going to touch a lot of areas of the Christian life. It'll touch their witness, it'll touch their giving, it'll touch their praying, it'll touch, you know, a lot of different areas of their life, but their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I don't know what you think when you read that, but to me, that says an awful lot about this church. Their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. If someone were writing a letter about Stoughton Baptist Church, I wonder if they would say that. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I don't know what you think. I don't know that it would be said that way. But that's what was said about these folks here. Now, again, that tells us something very special about this church family, that they must love God, wouldn't you say? They must love God's word. They must love the lost around them. They must be concerned for others. I'm guessing that they probably have a deep love for the Apostle Paul. I mean, all that is wrapped up in that one little phrase, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. This, would you agree with me? This church at Rome had a good reputation among all those who heard about the church. Sure. Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm guessing there were probably other churches that said, man, I wish our church had the faith that the church at Rome had. Isn't it funny what we emphasize sometimes? That's why I mentioned before about the building, you know, or the buses or vans or the, you know, music program or whatever. You know, people do tend to emphasize the wrong things, don't they? Oh, I thank my God that your youth department is spoken of throughout the whole world. Again, all those things are touched by the word faith, but it wasn't all those individual items. It was their faith that was spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul is commending them for the faith that they have in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing that people probably would ask these folks to pray for needs that they have, knowing and believing that those folks would actually pray for those things and get answers for those things. That's the kind of testimony that this church had. What a wonderful testimony that Paul gives. And this is written down in the Word of God to be talked about and preached about for generations to other people. I'm thinking as I'm looking at this, Lord, help us. As Stoughton Baptist Church, help us to have that kind of faith that people, when they speak about us, they don't speak about all those other things that I was referring to. They speak about our faith, our belief and our trust and our faith in God and His Word to do great and mighty things in this world. First, verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For, verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul's telling them here in this letter that he prays for them often. On a regular basis, he prays for this church at Rome, that God would help them, that God would bless them, that God would use them. And he says, God is my witness. There's not any way around that. God sees and God knows, right? And he knows, God's my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, he's going to talk later on in these verses how he wants to visit them and he wants to impart some spiritual gift and all that. But he also wants them to know, first of all, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And by the way, folks at Rome, I want you to know I pray for you on a regular basis. I'm praying that God will be with you, God will help you, God will use you, God will increase your faith even more and more. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Look at verse 10, making request. Here's one of the things that I pray for. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I want to come and be with you. I want to come and spend time with you. I want to come and teach you from what God has shown me. I want to come and be with you. I want to come and pray with you. I want to come and share my faith with you and you share your faith with me. I want to come and spend some time with you. And of course, he'll talk about this later, but I've been hindered. Not by Satan, but by other ministry responsibilities that I have. I pray for this. I pray for this often. And I make request, if there's any means possible, that I could have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. By the way, notice, by the will of God. Paul had tried, apparently, to come see them oftentimes, but was, King James says, let hitherto. It means to be hindered. Okay? It's an old English word. We don't use it anymore today in this way, but it's a word that means to hinder. I've been kept from coming to you. Okay? It's not that I didn't want to, but I've been hindered to come unto you. Why? Don't miss this now. Why? Because it must not have been the will of God yet. It must not have been the will of God. I want to come, but I want to come by the will of God. See, sometimes, I hope you'll understand this and agree with me on this, because I think this is true. Sometimes we want to do things, listen, that are good things, but it might not be the will of God yet. And if it's not the will of God yet, we need to be content with not being able to do it, because it's not the will of God. If it is the will of God, God makes it happen. If it is the will of God, God opens doors and closes others. You know, God steers our path. God helps us to get there. God helps us to do that. When God is in it, I think you know this, if you've been a Christian for a while and have been observant, when God is in it, it flows and it works. When God's not in it, it doesn't. God stops it. God hinders it. Okay? God doesn't allow it to happen. And so he mentions, I want to come to you, and I desire to come to you, and I want to be with you, and you'll see that in a minute. I want to impart some spiritual gift unto you in verse 11. But I want to do it by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11, for I long to see you. It's an idea here that he's really hungry to get there, thirsty to get there. He's really wanting to be with them. For I long to see you that, here's why, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Why does Paul want to come? He wants to impart unto them some spiritual gift. It's also mentioned in here that they would share things with him as well, but he longs to be there. He longs to be with them, not so that he can talk sports. I like sports. And we do this, don't we? Sometimes we talk sports. At least some of the guys do. I don't know about the women. I have no idea what you talk about. But isn't it funny how we talk about all kinds of different stuff? Nothing wrong with that per se, but he's saying, I want to come and be with you so I can impart some spiritual gift unto you. I want to come and be a benefit to you spiritually. I want to come and spend time with you so that I can build you up in your Christian faith. And you'll see it again in just a moment. He's going to expect them to build him up in his spiritual faith also. But I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. Why? To the end ye may be established. A lot of that other stuff, in quotations, that we talk about doesn't build us up in our Christian faith, does it? It really doesn't. It's really, you know, fluff. It's really foam on the milk. It doesn't really do us much spiritually. It doesn't help us at all. And again, I like sports and I like that other stuff. And, you know, we talk about the weather and all that kind of stuff. But to impart unto you some spiritual gift, why? To the end that ye may be established. I want to build you up. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to get you anchored in your Christian faith. Verse 12, that is that I may be, look at this, comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So I want to come and be with you so I can impart unto you some spiritual gift. But I'm also expecting that while I'm spending time with you, I'm going to also be comforted by the faith that we share, the mutual faith, both of you and me. I'm going to be comforted also. Okay? It's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. Please, take this in the right way. But I really do believe that there's an awful lot of people that are going to church thinking it's a one-way street. What's in it for me? What can you do for me and my family? What can you offer to me and my kids? One-way street. That's not really not church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a two-way street. We minister to one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We comfort one another. And look at this. This is coming from the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine being a member at the church at Rome? What in the world can I give Paul? Right? How can I help him? How can I comfort him? How can I strengthen him? How can I establish him? I'm just a lowly church member. Who am I? This is the great Apostle Paul. But look at what he says here in the letter. For I long to see you, verse 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, I already touched on that, I suppose, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Here's the reason why he hadn't gotten there so far. Because he was already ministering to other Gentiles, and it kept him so busy he hadn't been able to come to Rome. I wanted to come. I wanted to come numerous times. I purposed to come unto you numerous times. But I was hindered, I was let hitherto, I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. The Greeks, of course, Gentiles, people who know the Greek language. Barbarians are those who are, yes, Gentiles, but they are not familiar with the Greek language and the Greek customs and so forth. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You know, it takes in all different classifications of people. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I don't know if you see this or not, but I see the Apostle Paul as one who is constantly ready to preach the gospel. Somebody put it this way years ago. I just remember this. His gospel gun is always loaded. Huh? His gospel gun is always loaded. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. His gospel gun was always loaded. He was always ready to preach and teach the word of God to those, anybody who would listen. Greeks, barbarians, wise, unwise, didn't matter. He was ready. He was ready. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Have you ever stopped right there and asked yourself, am I ashamed? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I know you've heard this probably many, many times throughout your life. But the word behind the word power there is dunamis. And we get our word dynamite or dynamo from that same word. It's the explosive power of God unto salvation. Let me ask you this. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is there anyone, should that person be willing to hear it and receive it, is there anyone that the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot save? No. No, there's no one. As long as they're willing to hear it and receive it, they can be saved. Pastor, even somebody who's got piercings all over their body? Yes. Even somebody who's got tats all over their body? Yes. Even somebody who's steeped in drugs and alcohol and pornography and all, can anybody like that be saved? Yes. As long as they'll listen and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can be saved. What about somebody, Pastor, who's really, really self-righteous? Maybe they're not off into sin, but they think they're okay with God and they go to church on a regular basis and they live basically a clean moral life. And you wouldn't look at them necessarily as some heinous sinner in this world. What about them? Can they be saved? Yes. Long as they'll listen to and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, some of those are harder to reach than some of the others. Right? People that are Lutherans and Catholics and Methodists who think they're all right with God and they've got it all covered. Some of those are the hardest to reach in all the world. Because they don't see themselves as lost in need of a Savior. But everybody's lost in need of a Savior. And that's why the gospel is is, like the Bible says here, the power of God unto salvation. Look at this. To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. And then notice this. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's still God's plan, by the way. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, Gentiles like you and me, we've been grafted in. But Romans is, we'll see it later on, you know, several chapters from now. The Jews are still the main branch, you know, the main vine. We've been grafted in. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein, the gospel of Jesus Christ again, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to us the righteousness of God. And by the way, it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that the righteousness of God is offered to us. How many times have I stood up here and, you know, taken my coat off as if to demonstrate giving God my sin and then putting my coat back on as if to represent Jesus, give me his righteousness, and now I'm clothed in his righteousness. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From saving faith, even to faith as we keep on growing until faith is brought to its ultimate end in glory. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, Paul's writing this letter and he's trying to explain to them about his desire to come and why he hasn't made it yet. He told them three reasons why he's writing the letter. Number one, verses 8 to 13, I wrote it because I wanted to visit you, but I could not. Verse 13, I wrote this letter because I've been hindered. I wrote this, verse 14 and 15, because I'm powerfully motivated by three things. I realize I'm a debtor to everyone. I'm always ready. My gospel gun is always ready with everything to preach the gospel. And I'm convinced that everybody needs the gospel. And he wrote in verse 16 and 17 about man's need for the gospel. I want you folks to know this. I want you folks to know this. And that's why I'm writing this letter called Romans. When we get back together next week, we're going to start at verse 18. And he's going to tell us why man needs the gospel. Verses 18 to 32 show us the downward progression of man who is a sinner. And that is the reason why we need the gospel. And we are, in and of ourselves, we are condemned. We are condemned, and that's why we need the gospel. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, next week, verses 18 to 32. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we've had tonight to look at a few verses in chapter 1. I'm going to try my best as we go through this book to just take it a little bit at a time, to take my time, and to go through this book from verse to verse and talk about what it says. I pray that you'll help me with that, Lord. I ask also that you'll help us tonight as we conclude our Bible study to think about prayer and how powerful prayer is and how important prayer is in our life. Bless us now, Lord, as we close the Bible lesson tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.